Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. A walking stick is a very helpful thing to have on a long, difficult journey. When you first start off on the journey, you might think that you don't need it. You might think that, you know, what's right in front of me is not too bad. It's not going to get any more difficult. Or you might think, I'm young and spry enough. I don't need a walking stick. I don't want to be seen with one of those. But a walking stick can be a very important thing to have. Maybe you've experienced or you have your own walking stick at home. This is actually Carol Gutbrod's, by the way. Thank you for letting me use it this morning. Maybe you've used a walking stick on a long hike. It is helpful when the slope that you're facing on the mountain or the hill is very steep. You know, kind of leveraging yourself on the walking stick gives you a little boost to go forward. Or maybe when the path is filled with rocks, you stick the stick in one area to balance your weight as you go from rock to rock. It's a very helpful thing. Or when the path is very daunting in front of you and you're scared, it's helpful to have something in your hand to just squeeze and release some of the tension in your hand. I'll never forget the first time I went skiing. I was so tense and scared, I gripped those poles so tightly the next day. It wasn't my legs that were sore, it was my hands. A walking stick is very important to have on a long, arduous journey. Life is filled with a lot of hard journeys and difficult walks, isn't it? And it's helpful to have a walking stick. Now, what I'm referring to this morning, of course, is not a physical walking stick, but something that we can hold on to steady us as we experience some trials and some difficulties. Here are some of those long, tough walks that we have in life. When a doctor diagnoses us with something that's very serious, that's a long journey. It may not be too bad right in front of us, but we know down the road it's going to be very troublesome. It's helpful to have a walking stick to hold on to in that journey. Or maybe you're a caregiver for someone in your family. It's okay right now, but down the road it may get a little more difficult. See, it helps to have something to hold on to steady yourself. Or it could be a goal that's out in front of you that you want to achieve, that you're sure to get, but something's blocking it. Not right now, but down the road it could. See, it's helpful to have something in your hand to have confidence in. What we typically do as we face these walks and journeys in life is we kind of think like I oftentimes have on long journeys and walks, I don't need a walking stick. I'm young and spry enough. I can handle it all by myself. No problem. Friends, really important in the long journeys that we have each day and throughout our life to have a walking stick in hand. What is that walking stick? What am I talking about this morning? I'll get there here this morning. We have probably the most arduous and long journey described in Genesis chapter 22. Did you hear it? What a challenge it is. Listen to the journey again. Genesis chapter 22, verse 2 puts it out here. God explains the journey. Abraham, take your one and only son, God adds this little detail, the son that you love, and take him to the region of Moriah, the mountain region of Moriah, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Let me explain that journey. It was about, from where Abraham was to where Mount Moriah was, it was about a 14-mile journey up a mountain. But that journey likely took 3 days because of the donkey and the cut wood and the two servants that Abraham took him to go up to the mountain. But that's not why this journey was a difficult one. My friends, the reason why this journey was a difficult one was the request that God gave to Abraham at the end of that journey. Did you catch it? Abraham, sacrifice your son as a burnt offering. 14 miles. That's a tough journey. What a harsh thing to say. And there's no way that I can sugarcoat it. In fact, the commentaries that I looked at, there's no sugarcoating this. God is asking a very difficult thing. This was Isaac. This was Isaac, the promised child of Genesis chapter 16, in which Abraham would be the father of many nations. He was the link to a whole bunch of descendants. Abraham and Sarah had prayed for this child to come. But it's even harsher than that. See, God asks Abraham to burn him as an offering. Startling. God's people, typically what they did was they set aside their firstborn son as a thanksgiving offering in the temple. This is Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Here, Hannah says, "Here's my son. You dedicated your son, but you never had to burn him." See, a burn offering was this. You actually held the ram down, and you took your knife, and you killed it, and then you burned it with fire, and you'd have the offering in your hand as dust and ashes. Isaac. That's tough. Gets worse. God says, "Abraham, you do it." "Yeah, Abraham, you do it. I don't want those two servants of yours to do it. You do it. You cut the wood. You take the donkey. You travel the distance. And I want you to burn your son." This is a tough. Now you can see why this is probably the most difficult and longest journey in the history of mankind. 14 miles to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. How did Abraham do this? Would you and I be able to do such a thing? It'd be very difficult. How did he do this? Doesn't say in the text, my friends, but here's the thing. Abraham had a walking stick. Not a physical walking stick. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Abraham had God's promise to hold on to. That was his walking stick for that 14-mile journey. God had promised Abraham, "No matter what I tell you, you will be the father of many nations, and many people will come from you." God had spoken that to Abraham, and that was a promise that Abraham held on to, no matter what, on this journey. Friends, think about the things that you and I would do if we were on a journey. We'd probably do something like this. Abraham could have done these things. Abraham could have negotiated with God and said, "God, you know, can I do something else besides sacrificing my son?" Doesn't do that. God could have asked, or Abraham could have asked for a delay. "Can you give me, 15 or 20 days to kind of think about this before I do it?" Abraham could have consulted with his wife. Friends, notice in the text, Abraham consults with no one. He follows God's command. Abraham could have done a whole bunch of things. He could have actually, at the moment, done a switcheroo, right? There's Ishmael on the side. Why don't I switch him in, put a mask on him, and I sacrifice him and keep Isaac alive? No, he doesn't do that. Abraham obeys God. There's only one rational explanation that I can come up for with for why he does this, friends. He had a walking stick. He trusted God's promise. He trusted that God would provide. And God did. As his hand went up, an angel spoke, and right behind him, yes, there was a ram that could take the place of Isaac. God definitely provided. So I can get what you're thinking about here this morning. You're probably thinking, "Pastor, you're telling me that the walking stick in life is God's promises." My goodness, that's simple. And you know what? Promises aren't so sure these days. I don't think promises are that great. And undoubtedly, as we listen to the news, as we listen to so many things out there, isn't it true? Promises aren't always all that valuable. There's a joke about this, actually about a politician that died. The joke goes like this. When the politician died, he went to the gates of St. Peter. And St. Peter told the politician who had died, he said, "You can have one day in heaven and one day in hell. And then after those 2 days, you can decide where to spend all of eternity," St. Peter said to the politician. So he went down to hell, and down in hell, there was a beautiful golf course. And the politician saw all his colleagues and fellow politicians. It was a great place to be, just like it was in life. That was awesome. Then the politician went up to heaven. And in heaven there were clouds and there were harps, which was kind of soothing and kind of relaxing, but not as good as hell. So the politician came to the conclusion, I think I want to spend eternity in hell. St. Peter went with the politician down the elevator, down to hell to see what it was like. When the doors opened, it wasn't a golf course. It was a dusty and desolate land with garbage everywhere. And all his colleague politicians were picking up the garbage and putting it into sacks and doing it over and over again. And the guy was shocked. And he said to his friends, he said, "What happened down here?" And his colleagues said, "Well, 2 days ago when you came, we were campaigning and promising. Today is reality." Is that the way you feel about promises in today's world? I think we do. Very few people follow through. But God does. And it is the walking stick to hold on to in our life. And I'll tell you why we know that it's true. Because of what Jesus did. Friends, Jesus took a long walk. From the time that we were at last week, Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration and things were looking really good for Jesus, hanging out with Elijah and Moses. And Jesus could see at the very end what his journey would be like. He saw the cross and how he would die. And friends, Jesus' walk, as painful as it was for Abraham and Isaac for 14 miles, Jesus' walk was even more difficult. Because he had friends around him that said, "Hey, Jesus, don't do it. You don't have to die." Peter says it multiple times. Jesus had more time to think about it. As we sang in that beautiful hymn in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had time to pull out of it and walk away. And then when Jesus went to the cross, there was no sacrifice on the side that could take his place. He was the sacrifice. Barsabbas was the one who got to leave and go away. And Jesus died, and there was a father who actually lost his son. The story of Abraham and Isaac, the father doesn't lose the son. The story of Jesus, the father loses his son. And Jesus did it all so that you could know you have a walking stick in life. All of God's promises are true. Don't forget your walking stick in life. It's so easy to do. As we head out the door and we think about the tough things, the tough conversation or the news that we have each day, we might think, "I don't need help with my life. I can handle it all myself." Here's the application today. Stop on your way out your door and grab the walking stick, God's promise. "I will be with you always," Jesus says. "I will never leave or forsake you." Take that promise with you each day, or whatever promise it is from the Bible. Then when that tough path comes in your day or your weekly life, you have something to grab, to hold on to. Don't face life without that walking stick, without God's promise in your life. God's promises extend even into death. David says it, "Thy rod and thy staff comfort me, even in the valley of the shadow of death." So a gentle reminder for all of us to be like Abraham, not to go on our long journeys all by ourselves, but to firmly grasp the walking stick, God's promise, as we face all things in life. Amen.